In the film In-Laws and Outlaws, one man describes love and marriage as a do-it-yourself prefrontal lobotomy. Another subject of the film, an older woman, had this to say.
Boom.
Alrighty then. I'm Jabalani LaFall, and on today's Central Standard, a look at the film that looks at love and marriage, gay or straight, from the inside. We'll talk to the director of In-Laws and Outlaws, Drew Emery, about how he weaves together the narratives of love, romance, heartbreak, and partnerships from people of all walks of life. That plus local actor and comedian David Wayne Reed talks about Jolly Rancher, a performance piece that's a collection of stories culled from his rural upbringing as a gay man in Kansas. That's all ahead on Central Standard after this hour's NPR News. Good morning, Kansas City. Socrates says if you find a good wife, you'll be happy. If not, you'll become a philosopher. Plato says love is a serious mental disease. Aristotle remarked that love is composed of a single soul inhabiting two bodies. Plato never married. Aristotle and Socrates did. And centuries later, philosophies abound on love and marriage. This is Central Standard. I'm Jabalani LaFall. Our guest is Drew Emery, the director of In-Laws and Outlaws, a documentary film looking at marriage from the inside out. Drew Emery, welcome to Central Standard.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning to you. What set you out to make this film?
Well, you know, we started making the film way back in 2004, and at the time, so-called gay marriage was becoming a national topic for the first time. And the thing that was missing from that conversation were the couples whose lives were being impacted by proposed legislation. So rather than tackle the political aspects of that, I thought it was important as a storyteller to tell the stories.
That was a very pivotal period indeed. The re-election of George W. Bush hinged in some precincts on the very controversial marriage equality issue. So that was your starting point.
That was our starting point. And it's interesting because that's 8.5 years ago that you're speaking of that re-election and, of course, all the stuff that was happening in California at the time. Back then, same-sex marriage was seen as just a wedge issue, as a fringe issue. And now it's become a lot more mainstream, and people are finally talking about what our film has been talking about all along, which is that this is about love and family. Getting married is basically choosing your family.
What made you make your first film about this subject? And further, why make it a documentary?
Well, my background is in theater, and in theater I had wonderful experiences doing oral history projects. So I kind of became a filmmaker accidentally, quite frankly. And as an oral historian, I just saw a huge potential just to let people tell their stories, and that was such an incredibly riveting and dramatic potential for a film, that a film doesn't have to be all car crashes and gunshots, that it could include us getting to know people on the wavelength where they actually exist. And given that when people were talking about same-sex relationships, there was this sense of other, that other people were having some kind of other kind of relationship. And for some people, there's an ick factor. And for other people, it was a sense of, oh, yeah, we are different. But I felt that familiarity could be bridged by really putting those people front and center on the camera, giving them breathing room to tell their story directly to an audience. So it's not an interview film at all. It's a storytelling film. You engage with the storytellers at the top of the film, and they speak directly to the audience, and they tell their life story as it relates to love and relationships.
And we should mention that this is marriage from the inside out, so you include gays, lesbians, straight married couples, people in proclaimed partnerships from all walks of life. How did you search out those subjects?
Single folks and divorced and widowed. It's the full gamut. It's the whole ecosystem of relationships.
And how did you search out your subjects?
We had an open call here in Seattle, where I'm based, and through a lot of different community organizations. I conducted oral history workshops with several of the subjects in advance. to prep them. But really, half of the selection process was in the editing, quite frankly. We had, I think, 95 hours of transcribed sit-down interviews that I then had to narrow down to just the feature film.
You almost said power down, didn't you?
I promise I won't power down right now.
Is there a unifying thread in these narratives, or did you find, as the saying goes, that marriage is like snowflakes, no two alike?
Well, I think there's a paradox there. I think that's true, and they're also alike we're all alike in the sense, I think the vast, vast majority of human beings, regardless of our sexual orientation, are motivated by love and a sense of belonging. And whether we want to have a family or raise kids, or whether we want to have a committed lifelong relationship, I think we all are steeped in the same tea of romantic love in terms of our pop culture and our expectations of what we should have growing up and what makes us happy. But even beyond that, we have this desire to connect with other human beings on a intimate level that is so incredibly powerful. And I think for gay people, that connection has been distorted by the misinformation that we ourselves are given as we grow up in a society that doesn't understand us. And so a lot of our journey in terms of finding relationships is sorting through that misinformation, first finding ourselves, and then being able to find another person who we can connect with. And so that kind of makes the story really, really interesting instead of just, oh, well, I'm going to go online to OkCupid and meet a nice wife and get married and have two kids, you know?
Speaking of misinformation, did you find striking similarities or delineations between romantic love and this sort of other love, the all-sustaining, unconditional love that actually sustains something in the long run? Did you find that distinction in this project?
Yes, I think there's a lot of different ways to make a distinction there. But I'll tell you something. I get asked a lot after having interviewed a lot of these couples, what did I learn about relationships? Because I'm single, so it's like it was a master class in lasting, loving, wonderful relationships. And there's so many things I could speak to in terms of communication and support and whatnot that make for a good relationship. But the one thing that everybody had in common, and it just struck me, it was such a simple fundamental thing, everybody who was in a lasting relationship believed in it. They believed in the whole concept of love and marriage, and they wanted that, motivated them. So having faith that this is a real thing that they could have and that it was worth all the work and commitment and sacrifice, I think that's a really huge thing that we take for granted. We assume that everybody believes that, but I think people want to believe it, but too often we're, you know, steeped in the cynicism of perhaps our own failed relationships or the negativity and commodification of relationships as they're portrayed in the popular media.
We're going to hear a clip from In-Laws and Outlaws in just a minute, but let me roll into that with this question, Drew. You said you're single. Have you ever been married before?
I wouldn't use the term married, but I have had partnerships in the past that have been, sustained and really wonderful. Yes.
So going into this clip, how is this experience directing this film, In-Laws and Outlaws, shaped or changed your perception about the institution of marriage?
Oh, wow! There's so many different things. I would say that we're entering, contrary to the opinions of many people in this country, I think we're entering into a golden age of marriage in terms of possibility, that the conversation around same-sex marriage, the debate around it, has really opened up how we can all look at what is marriage on its most fundamental level. And the thing is that it's just a societal structure, but we get to provide the dressing. We get to determine what's within that structure for ourselves and how to make it work, and how does it serve us individually or as a couple or as a family. And I think that that's a wonderful thing, and that doesn't just apply to gay people. That applies to everybody. And it's been happening long before we were talking about same-sex marriage. It's just that it went unacknowledged. So when people talked about traditional marriage, it's always been this one thing, you know, they're conveniently forgetting that traditional marriage, as they see it, has really evolved in the last generation or two. My parents entered into their marriage 56 years ago, and the world that they entered into that marriage and the expectations and certainly the wedding vows that they spoke to one another were very, very different than what a man and a woman would enter into today in most cases. And that's that, you know, they're equal now, but they weren't. There wasn't a consideration that they were equal, and that's huge.
Let's hear a clip from the film In-Laws and Outlaws.
So we got married in Vancouver, British Columbia, where I think it was in June or July of last year, it became legal there.
Yeah, so
but we're not actually, you know, legally married.
We got married in
the US,
October.
So it's kind of, if people ask you if you're married, you know, it's, we are, but we're not, so I don't know. It's one of the, I think the only place almost, or one of the places in the world where you can get married without having any residency requirements at all. So basically anyone can go and get married.
And but what's interesting is we can't get divorced unless we've lived there for a year.
Yes. So we're kind of like, you know,
married forever. It's okay.
Yeah.
There's a snippet from the documentary titled In-Laws and Outlaws. You're listening to Central Standard on 89.3 FM KCUR, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm Jabalani LaFall. Our guest is the director of that film, Drew Emery, and it's called In-Laws and Outlaws, a documentary film looking at marriage from the inside out. There's a film excerpt in the documentary, Drew, where you're talking to the director, and you say the film is apolitical, but you're dealing with, particularly in the case of marriage equality, a very politically charged issue. How do you, again, walk that fine line?
Well, I kind of believe that if we, as a storyteller, I'm both an activist and a filmmaker, but I feel that as a filmmaker, my primary job is to entertain people and to engage them. And as a documentarian, I have to add to that that I want to be truthful. I want to make sure that the core of what we're putting across is absolutely valid and coherent and engaging, but truthful. And so I didn't worry about the politics. I really think that that will take care of itself. Quite honestly, there are so many different people in this film that different people are going to connect with. It's almost a Rorschach test on where you are in relationships, and for that matter, where you are with gay people and how you feel about them. Because there's such a variety that you'll find, oh, that divorced couple, their story really spoke to me. Or that fellow who was with his partner for 50 years and he died while they were still in the closet, that really, really grabbed me because I recently lost my wife. Or perhaps, you know, I just got engaged, and that couple, that the newlyweds who are planning their wedding right now, I can totally understand and feel their excitement and trepidation of entering into this. So there's so many different things that people connect with. So I don't expect that any given audience of the film walking in is going to come out with the same set of principles or political beliefs that I have. I would be a fool to think that I could somehow shove that down their throat and that would effectively change anyone. But I do think that if I introduce them to some really wonderful people who are having the same struggles as everyone else in terms of trying to find a committed partner and make it work, that we will recognize the humanity in that. And that once we see people in love and we recognize that as that's what it is, it's just love, and that this is just marriage, well, the rest will take care of itself.
It's interesting that you use the term Rorschach test of perceptions about marriage and that being the sort of goal to create that picture and paint that picture and have people go through it with their own ambiguities, their own biases, and draw their own perception from it. What was the story in the documentary that touched you in that way, that made you see a blot on a sheet that looks like a rose or an anvil in that sense?
I feel so close to the virtually everybody in the film in terms of their story, and that has to do with my role in it and feeling very responsible for bringing their story to the world and putting it on my shoulders is something that I take very seriously, because these are real people whose lives were being affected by the fact that they're telling their story. I mean, it's not just the audience that's being affected. Their lives have all changed from the time that they set foot on the set. But I can speak to one couple in particular that they've been in the news a lot lately, Petey and Jane. Petey Peterson and Jane Abbott Lighty, they're 85 years old and 78 years old. They just got married this past Sunday, legally married in Washington State, and their story is prominently featured throughout the film. Many people have seen their beautiful faces all over the news recently. They were the first couple in Washington State to receive a wedding license on Wednesday when that became official, and then when their wedding happened on Sunday, it was at Benaroya Hall, our symphony hall, in front of 2,800 guests with a choir of 400 people, a pipe organ, and the Seattle Men's and Women's Chorus singing behind them. It was quite the production. So the funny thing about this couple, they've been together for 35 years, and at the time that they met back in Sacramento in the 70s, they were, in many ways, very closeted. I don't think that at the time they necessarily would have said that because they were open to their friends and whatnot, but certainly at work they were closeted. And they've gone on quite an evolution, and you see that in the course of the film. But their marriage, their relationship, I think by the end of the movie, I can't imagine anybody watching that who doesn't see that that is the gold standard for a committed, lasting, loving relationship. A lot of folks in the news have labeled them the face of a marriage equality this past week. Well, it's funny because people who know them, they see them as the face of love. They see them as, I wish that I could have that relationship. I've never gotten any comments after the film, and I've toured with the film around the country and shown it in hundreds of churches and schools and whatnot, and I've never gotten a response of arguing with the fact that is just a beautiful relationship. Instead, it's envy, actually, and admiration.
Drew, do you feel it was merely serendipity that this new legislation passed in this past election season in Washington State for marriage equality, and one of the couples from your film happened to be at the center of that? Or did you think about that all along, or were they at the forefront of that during the making of the film?
Well, they are a beautiful couple who are absolutely adorable. You just look at a photo of them and you want to know them, so let alone hearing your story. We had about 250 community screenings of the film in Washington State alone in the years leading up to this, and it was broadcast on public television four times in Western Washington, reaching like probably, I don't know, two-thirds, three-quarters of the voters during this time, just like it's going to be on public television in Kansas City tomorrow. And I can't imagine that it didn't have some effect, but I think that what's at really the soul of the whole movement and why it was able to happen in places like Washington and that the time is now, it's not serendipity, it's storytelling. That's my religion, is that people coming forward, presenting their authentic selves, and bravely saying, here's who I am, please just deal with it, is an extremely powerful thing. And it's so personal. It's connective. It gets through all of the misinformation and misapprehensions that people have about one another. And I honestly think that most people who oppose marriage equality aren't bigoted. I don't really like calling them haters or saying that that's their agenda. I think that's just not true. It's a disservice to humanity to just put people in these two extreme camps. I think they're misunderstanding what's happening, and I think that they're uncomfortable. But the way you get over discomfort is through familiarity, by just showing who we are. And so storytellers like Petey and Jane, I think, are absolutely instrumental in this movement.
We're on with director Drew Emery, who directed the film In-Laws and Outlaws. We're going to go to a clip of that film, In-Laws and Outlaws. Let's check it out right now.
We've been together 27 years. 27 short years, I might add, because they've gone so fast.
Very fast.
I could honestly say that my life really began when I met Petey.
When I met her, I fell in love with her right away.
Many, many people in the heterosexual world think that, you know, after 50, there isn't any reason to be physically intimate, or that you shouldn't be, that's not a natural state of affairs. We have always had the voom right from the beginning, and currently never goes away.
Never goes away. Just today, I was taking off my, I don't know, it was my pajama top or something. And she was on the other side, and she says, wow. We always have it. It doesn't go away.
You can delete that part. It's so important to be together. It's so important to talk. It's so important to laugh together. It's very important to touch. And that doesn't mean total intimacy all the time. There's so many ways of communicating and loving and being together and sharing. And that, it kind of evens out as we go along, becomes more comfortable, more comprehensive, even more complex in a way. Then it's nice. I feel I've been married since I met her, and I've been truly married since I moved in with her, which was a very short 2 weeks afterwards.
The magic continues, and I'm always glad to see her. I'm pleased at what she does, or it's a wonderful feeling to love somebody so much. She's fun to be with. I trust her. I respect her. We respect each other. I don't think we could ever lie. I just love her.
That's a film excerpt from the documentary In-Laws and Outlaws, and we're talking to that film's director, Drew Emery. You just heard a snippet of the very touching story of Petey and Jane. Drew Emery, one of the things you draw from this film, and you know walking away from this film, is that none of these stories are complete. There's really no endpoint in a marriage or love narrative, of course, except for divorce and breakups, and even then, the narrative continues. So how are you stretching this conversation?
Stretching it as in terms of beyond the film or...
Right.
Well, you know, it's funny because I set out to make a film, and about a year after I set up my company to start production is when we premiered it at the Seattle International Film Festival. And this being my first film, I kind of assumed I was going to be done within 9 months and moving on to my next film. So nobody is more surprised than me that 8 years later, I'm still this is still an essential part of my life. And, you know, it's a good thing because it's obviously very, very pertinent right now to what's going on. And the fact that it's an apolitical film means that it has a lasting message that really isn't dated at all, thank goodness. So how is it being stretched? Honestly, every time we show the film, it seems to incite people in the audience to tell their story. So the project, our project, the True Stories Project and our Hearts and Minds campaign is not just the film anymore. It's the film and then what people are doing with the film. They're using it to raise money for different causes, and they're using it to start a conversation in their community. Different churches in the welcoming and affirming movement are using the film almost as a proxy for the couples in their congregations to decide whether or not they want to become a welcoming church to LGBT people. That's something that I was completely unaware of at the time that I made the film. And now I just couldn't be prouder that people are using just these simple stories as a way of connecting to one another, to maybe do some healing, to educate one another, of course, but really to celebrate love. I mean, is there a higher calling than just celebrating love? It's hard to think of one.
What do you hope people get out of this film?
Well, I ultimately hope that people come away feeling inspired to embrace the love they have in their lives. And I think that if people do that, they'll let go of a lot of the fear that they might have about relationships that they don't understand. I think that is extremely powerful to go ahead and just let go of the fear and embrace the fact that this is the most wonderful thing about human beings, is that we have the capacity to love ourselves and love one another. And nothing is more powerful. I have never seen anything more powerful than that.
What's the most interesting question that's come up in a Q&A for you at a film screening?
That's hard to think of. I think people have a lot of questions about the way the film was made and how we were able to get people to be so incredibly open and honest, because that's one of the things that's very striking when you watch the film. It's how frank everybody is, and there's you forget you're in a film. You think you're in a living room talking to these sweet old ladies, and that's, you know, a lot of intention went behind that. So I think people's questions are often, how did we do that? And I think that the fact that the storytellers were part of something bigger than them really allowed them to let go of their own personal agenda and to embrace this common cause of love and equality.
Our guest is Drew Emery, the director of In-Laws and Outlaws, a documentary film looking at marriage from the inside out. That documentary film will be shown on KCPT tomorrow, Thursday, at 1 p.m. and 7 p.m. Drew Emery, thank you for coming.
It's been my pleasure.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll find out why a performance artist who grew up in rural Kansas calls himself the Jolly Rancher. Central Standard returns in a moment.